just delighted to be here tonight. I'm delighted that this event ties together human liberation and animal liberation. I don't think I could have said it better than Jackie and the previous speaker about the tragedies befalling so many millions of animals a year. It's now some 14 years ago since I really first became involved in this issue. As a veterinarian, it was brought to my attention about some just horrible conditions over at the UC Berkeley campus. I went over there, I met with the campus veterinarian, I met with a veterinarian who had just resigned, and what they described to me in terms of the gross irresponsibility, the dirty surgery, the animals dying of brain infections because the researchers on the campus, who are still there today, unbelievably, would not even use sterile equipment or sterile gloves to do brain surgery on rabbits and on cats, on monkeys, and the animals were dying from brain infections. When you get into what is actually goes on in the factory farms, what actually goes on in the laboratories, it truly is a tragedy. There is so much money involved. These industries have so much political and lobbying power that it takes each and every one of us to put just full energy to fight to end these industries that just so terribly exploit and harm animals. And it warms my heart to see so many of you, new faces that I've never seen before, that came here for the radio benefit, applauding and appreciating the animal rights movement. If I may, I'd like to read some quotes. We put together a brochure from some quotes from some well-known individuals. We today in the animal rights movement are following in the footsteps of some just absolutely wonderful and just beautiful people, ranging from Albert Einstein, who said, "Our task must be to free ourselves by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in its beauty." To Mahatma Gandhi, who said, "The greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way its animals are treated." I hold fast that the more helpless a creature, the more entitled it is to protection by man from the cruelty of man. To St. Francis of Assisi, "Not to hurt our humble brethren is our first duty to them, but to stop there is not enough. We have a higher mission, to be of service to them wherever they require it." George Bernard Shaw stated, "The worst sin towards our fellow creatures is not to hate them, but to be indifferent to them. That's the essence of inhumanity." And Albert Schweitzer wrote, "The thinking man must oppose all cruel customs, no matter how deeply rooted in tradition or surrounded by a halo. We need a boundless ethic which will include the animals also." As well as their great achievements in human rights, science, philosophy, and the arts, these individuals have all had in common a deep concern for the rights and well-beings of animals. They urge others to see animals as more than mere resources for humanity, to recognize them as individuals with feelings, interests, and needs of their own. Their ideas have now crystallized into a movement I'm very proud to be part of, the animal rights movement. And it has become the vehicle for millions of people who now seek justice and compassion for animals who are killed by industry or brought to the brink of extinction by our destructive efforts on the environment. In Defense of Animals recently launched a new campaign, and the name of the campaign is, "They are not our property, we are not their owners." You heard a quote earlier by Professor Gary Francione, where he talked about the current situation of animal exploitation, and the basis for it arising is from the fact that animals in society are treated as things, as mere property, reminiscent of the slavery of our fellow beings years ago, when they had more color than the white people in this country. So we've created a campaign, we've created a pledge. Our goal is to have 1 million people pledge not to buy or sell animals any longer, no longer to consider themselves owners, rather to consider themselves legal guardians, never to buy or sell an animal, only to rescue or adopt. And the pledge reads as follows, and I would love for those of you here today, we'll have the pledge forms in the back to sign them to add to our goal of reaching 1 million people by the end of this coming year. Whereas I believe that all animals deserve to be treated and respected as individuals with feelings, needs, and interests of their own, and whereas I believe that animals are not commodities or property to be bought, sold, disposed of, or discarded, I hereby pledge always to live my life with an ethic of respect and consideration for all animals, rather than one of ownership in which animals are considered mere property, to adopt and rescue rather than buy or sell animals, to represent myself as a caretaker, guardian, companion, or friend of animals rather than their owner or master, to strive at all times to make the world a more just and compassionate place for all beings, human and non-human alike. I thank you for being here, for welcoming those of us who represent the animal rights community. We have a guest from out of town who I'd like to introduce to you. It's Dr. Alex Hirschaft, one of the early founders of the animal rights movement. Dr. Hirschaft's organization, FARM, has been a leader in the fight to move society away from the meat-eating, away from the terrible exploitation and abuse that takes place in the agribusiness. It's my pleasure to welcome Dr. Alex Hirschaft.
Too many microphones makes me self-conscious. I'm delighted to be here. I'm the visitor from the East, particularly from Maryland, the land of Fisteria piscicida, which, if you don't know what it is, it's an interesting new organism that is nurtured by animal waste and has wiped out all fisheries along the eastern seaboard. So we have an interesting phenomenon taking place. In the past, we've had exploiters of animals and the environment fighting the defenders of the environment and animals. Now, we have animal exploiters fighting one another. So it's a good day. We find that the fishermen, the commercial fishermen, are demanding that the state reduce the factory farming operations. We find this true in other states as well. 12 states are enacting regulations to limit hog farming operations because of the stench and because of the pollution of the water supplies. There are a number of good things happening in this country. You know, I've been in this for 22 years, as Elliot mentioned, and things looked pretty sad and dismal and hopeless. But in the last 10 years, a lot of interesting things have happened. 32 million Americans have explored the vegetarian diet and many of them have stuck with it. One third of our young people today think that vegetarianism is cool. One third of people who dine out are said that they would eat vegetarian entrees if they were offered. A number of major manufacturers of foods, such as Conagra and Archer Daniels Midland and Green Giant, are now manufacturing vegetarian foods. Basically, vegetarianism is no longer far out, it's becoming in. Major food health advocacy organizations in Washington, like the American Cancer Society, the American Dietetic Association, even the infamous U.S. Department of Agriculture in its latest dietary guidelines have endorsed vegetarian diet. And we've had some victories for farm animals as well, although most of them are still in Europe, unfortunately. But in the recently concluded McLibel trial, the judge declared, and this is the first time this has ever happened in any country, the judge of the London court declared that McDonald's and presumably other retailers are culpably responsible for cruelty to chickens and pigs. So there are some good things happening, and we're very encouraged. Unfortunately, I live in a nation's capital where the meat industry still rules. They have the money to buy the votes. And there's still a long struggle ahead of us, but I'm very encouraged. I envy you having a San Francisco Liberation Radio. We don't have such an institution. And I want to congratulate Richard Edmondson and Jackie Dove for having embraced animal rights, because it's truly the most important issue there is today, because if we can achieve animal liberation, we will achieve all liberation. And if we can achieve vegetarianism, we can solve our national healthcare problem. Thank you for having me.
Okay, well, that was really wonderful. Thank you, Alex Hirschaft, for speaking on such a short notice, and also Dr. Katz. I wanted to announce a couple of activist things that are going on. Tomorrow at UC Davis, there is going to be a demonstration at the Primate Center, and that's 12 noon at UC Davis, and also at 2 o'clock, sort of closer to home here, going to have a rodeo demonstration at the Cow Palace. And then finally at 4:30, there'll be a vigil for Yaka, the orca that died at Marine World Africa USA. So if folks are interested in turning out for those things, that's what's going on. I'm going to introduce our next speaker now, Ronnie Burke from ACT UP San Francisco. And Ronnie's been taped on our programs several times, and we're really happy to have him here tonight. Ronnie is an AIDS activist and a human rights activist, as well as an animal rights activist. So please welcome Ronnie Burke.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be speaking on behalf of the San Francisco Liberation Radio. It's a nice event tonight. I write, so I'm not good at speaking extemporaneously, so I wrote this, so please bear with me. I would like to begin tonight's talk with a quote from Charles Fourier, the 19th century social theorist and radical socialist. "The ostrich, the deer, the jerboa, etc., will come and join forces with man as soon as his company becomes attractive to them, which it can never be in the civilized order." On October 15th, ACT UP San Francisco had its first San Francisco cruelty-free zone meeting. Michael Belafontaine pointed out that Cambridge and West Hollywood are designated cruelty-free zones, and ACT UP San Francisco is investigating just what is entailed in creating a community-free zone. The question of leather became amusing when you think about San Francisco's reputation as the underground sex capital of the Western Hemisphere. We will keep you posted as to our progress. On April 26th of this year, two of our members, Toss Wendell, who's here this evening, and Michael Bellefontaine, were arrested along with 70 other people at the Yerkes Animal Research Center in a confrontation with the DeKalb County Police in Atlanta, Georgia. As is the case with ACT UP San Francisco, this was before the fact, President Clinton has recently declared Yerkes to be the research site for the so-called Manhattan Project, a project that is an astounding $152 million expenditure that's being spent to build a new prison for primates. Tom Insull of the Yerkes Research Center claims with this money and with the project that he will come up with a virus in 5 years. It is very important to note that when Robert Gallo, quote-unquote, discovered HIV, the purported retrovirus that causes AIDS, Margaret Heckler stated that we'd have a vaccine in 5 years, and that was in 1984. Where does all this leave us? People with HIV, people with AIDS, people involved in the struggle to fight AIDS? It leaves us to challenge the unscrupulous vivisectionists and other research grant writing enthusiasts who know fully well they won't be finding a vaccine, but they can certainly cash in on this mammoth, federally funded pseudoscientific horror show. ACT UP intends to return to Yerkes on December 6th to join their friends in the animal rights movement who are mounting another march to the Primate Research Center. In the history of AIDS, billions, over $42 billion, has been spent in research. At a time when federal, state, and city governments continue to downsize social services, it is imperative that the AIDS industry answer the needs of its constituency, people with AIDS. ACT UP San Francisco condemns the wasted resources and the unethical practice of animal testing in the name of AIDS research. Doomed to failure, we need money for people with AIDS, not animal torture. We live in an era when vegans are more radical than Stalinists, and anarchism answers to a system breaking down, at a time when everyone agrees capitalism is destroying the world. I'm a radical because I believe in radical solutions. The ideas and philosophy proposed by animal rights activists I've discovered are some of the most radical and far-reaching and offer some of the deepest criticism of a society based on consumerist waste consumption. In closing, I would like to read, I quoted Charles Fourier. It was from a flyer that was issued in 1971 by a radical group in Chicago, a surrealist group. In 1971, it was a statement that they issued on animal rights called The Anteater's Umbrella, a contribution to the critique of the ideology of zoos. And I would like to, in closing, read the last two paragraphs of this flyer from 1971. If enslavement begins with humankind, it must end with the simultaneous liberation of humans and animals from the yoke of commodity fetishism and narcissistic effusions. The brutal confinement of animals ultimately serves only to separate men and women from their own potentialities and to make them victims of their own insidious barbarity. It is the reality of dreams that necessitates the reintegration of humans and animals in everyday life. In the realization of its deepest desires, humanity will achieve what it has always sought, a universe of the incredible. Thank you.
Well, that was just great. Thank you very much, Ronnie Burke.